Hey, what's up, guys? It's Ezra here at Moto247, and thank you guys so much for listening to episode 29 of the Moto247 show. Today's guest is Josh Cartwright. He's a rider for the International SX race team, and he'll be racing in the 250 East class for the 2022 Supercross season. And I'm really pumped to have him on tonight, and it's been a long time since our last episode. And heck, it's been like a month since our last episode, which was with Nate Adams, so it kind of sucks, but honestly, just really pumped to be back doing some podcasts again. It's been a while, and I felt like I had some podcast rust built up on me, so hopefully I got enough of that off tonight, or we'll get rolling full speed again, you know. But anyways, really pumped to have this episode tonight, but not only that, I'll be having another episode come out later this week, so stay tuned for that, and to see all the info, go over to our Instagram page at the Moto247 Show, and we'll have all of our updates on there. And we'll have some clips of each podcast up on our YouTube, which is under Moto247. So go over there, hit subscribe, and once we hit 1,000 subscribers, one lucky subscriber will win a set of custom Prism Designs graphics. So go over there. Definitely appreciate it if you hit that subscribe button. And anyways, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode here, and hope you guys enjoy. If you guys are looking to get graphics for your bike, your snowmobile, or even get a helmet wrap, I highly recommend you guys check out Prism Designs. Aaron at Prism does an amazing job. The graphics look so sick, and not only do they look really cool, the quality of those graphics are top-notch too, and I have a set on my pit bike, and man, they look cool, have that Geico theme going on, and rest in peace, Geico Honda. Anyways, have that going, and it looks sick, but not only that, but the quality of them is really great, and that's something I was really pumped on, actually, because there's a lot of companies out there that the graphics look really cool, really clean. You know, you can post your picture on Instagram, and the bike looks so sick, but you have a weekend on the bike of doing a couple motos, and they're starting to peel and everything, and that's just really frustrating, and that's the complete opposite with Prism. The quality of them is really great, and they're at an affordable price, too, so I highly recommend you guys check out Prism Designs. You can find them on Instagram at PrismDesigns_company. And then the link to their website is right there in their bio. So definitely recommend you check out Prism. And I'm also really excited to have a brand new grip company on board with us. I want to give a big shout out to Whiskey Throttle Grips. They make grips and apparel, half waffle, and soft compound grips. Go over and check out their Instagram at Whiskey_Throttle_Grips. Go on there, see what they have going on and all their cool grips. And right in their bio is their link to their website. So go check them out on Instagram, hit that follow button, and click that link in the bio. And I also want to give a big shout out to our newest sponsor here on the show, which is Blood Lubricants. As you guys know, it's really important to have really good oil in your bike. Be like Joey Crown, Alex Ray, Kyle Chisholm, Logan Carnow, and the whole SGB Honda team, and many more by using Blood Lubricants. Go over to their website and use code MOTO247 for 25% off on most products they have on there. Again, that's MOTO247 and all caps, MOTO247 for 25% off on most products on their website. Go over there. Their link to their website is in their Instagram bio. So go over there and find them on Instagram as well at Blood Lubricants. And we're going episode 29 of the Moto247 show here with Josh Cartwright. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up? How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Pretty good. Just headed home from work and completely about to head to the gym.
How's it going with the new team? I saw you just signed with the international race team. It wasn't that long ago, right?
Yeah, I just signed with Bubba Pauly and the other rider is Joan Cross. And yeah, it's doing really well. Got my 250 in about a week or so ago, and just been riding and getting back used to the 250, because I haven't been on a 250 in a while, so getting back used to it, but I'm excited about this year with them.
Yeah, I saw what they were doing last year, and it seems like all their guys were killing it last year, like Carnow and Bubba, and it seems like they're doing really good things, and weren't they racing both classes as well?
Last year Bubba and Joan were in the 450 class, and then Logan was their 250 rider, and then whichever round Logan wasn't doing, like, I think he did like east or something like that last year, and whatever rounds he wasn't doing the other coast, he did the 450 class. And it's kind of like what I'm going to be doing this year. I'm not going to do all the 450 rounds, but I'm going to do like certain ones.
It's just mainly focusing on the 250 and getting
yeah,
going.
Yeah, pretty much.
So what coast will you be doing if you
feel I'll be doing east.
Okay, so yeah, a little bit of time. I guess we got 1 month until A1. It seems like it's creeping up on us like every year. But I guess it'll be a little bit better. I was talking to some guys, and they're saying how the COVID schedule has been really crazy. And some guys liked it better, you know, with staying at one round for like 3 weeks or three rounds, I should say. But yeah, I know it was, you know, kind of a some guys didn't like it that much. And what's your opinion on that?
Oh, yeah, I like the normal schedule better, honestly, rather than the COVID. I mean, it was pretty cool to where we got to go like and be in one city at a time, but I kind of liked going to many different cities. Like with the COVID schedule, instead of going to 17 cities, we went to like 10 or 9 or something like that. Like I only went last year because I got hurt and didn't get back till the middle of the season. But even coming back like in the middle of the season, I did like 8 rounds or something like that, but I only went to 3 cities. So it kind of sucked, but it's okay for that. It's good for the teams though, just for travel expenses and stuff like that. But for me personally, I kind of like the just more rounds and get to go to your favorite ones if it wasn't on the COVID schedule or whatever.
Oh, for sure. And how was that for like track time? Because that had to be weird trying to find tracks. Like I would assume California would be really easy, you know, with all the tracks being open, but like being in certain cities, like I'm not sure what they had going on around Atlanta and what else was like Dallas was like the other one, but I think
that kind of like is a thing too, like because like Salt Lake, like when we were in Salt Lake City, like there's no supercross tracks out there, like everyone just went to motocross tracks and rode, so like there wasn't any, and we were out there for like a week, like it was like Saturday to Saturday I think it was or something like that, so throughout the whole week, we didn't get to ride supercross. We just rode outdoors the whole time, pretty much. So it kind of sucked.
Yeah, that's what I was like. I saw that like there's media day right on the the final round or because what was it like a Saturday, Tuesday, and another Saturday? And was there any extra time to ride the track?
Not that I know of.
Yeah, that just seemed weird. That, like, I forgot who it was that liked it, but I was a little bit surprised. You know, like it makes sense though financially. Like, yeah, if you're staying there, especially for a satellite team or what. But yeah, it seems like stuff's kind of getting back to normal. Which, yeah, it seems like a long ride with COVID, but at least we have races and getting back to a normal schedule and hopefully everything, you know, goes to plan. But you know, who knows with the whole craziness going on right now.
Yeah, you never know. We could have a normal season again, or we could just get straight back into 2020 where it just cancels right in the middle of the season, and just hopefully that does not do that again, because that sucked.
Yeah, and I remember in 2020 everyone's like, oh, we gotta look forward to 2021. 2021 will be all normal again, everything will be all, you know, good to go. And I think it was not the opposite, but it kind of really sucked. But and the whole thing with you know, people getting vaccinated and or like, you know, forcing their employees to get vaccinated, and the whole drama between the you know, Supercross, which I think they made it clear that they're not, you know, forcing the riders to be vaccinated, but like that's another thing. If that were to happen, I think that would just, you know, stir the pot really, really bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I know a lot of my friends that were just like all not all about it. They're like, well, I ain't racing if they do that. And I think now what they're doing is like, if you're not vaccinated, I think you have to get like a COVID test every round or something. That's what I heard. I don't know though, but something like that.
Yeah, I guess it's not that bad as long as, you know, everyone can get out there and just I guess nothing's set in stone, which it kind of freaks me out just with how everything's going on in the world right now. But yeah, as long as we get races again, and it seems like things are getting better. So, so I have on here that you did the Triple Crown series back in, was that 2019 or was that 2020?
So I did the I did the I did it in 2019 and 2020. I did the outdoors and then the Supercross on both years. But yeah, I did like the East Coast, the rest of the East Coast of the outdoor series up there, and then I did the rest of the Supercrosses up there. And last year was my best year in the Supercross series. They had all the rounds at Gopher Dunes, and one weekend they just did 2 week Friday, Saturday, Friday, Saturday, and I got a couple podiums, and I got third in the championship, so that was pretty sweet, and felt pretty cool to get some podiums up in Canada. And because Supercross was definitely my forte, I've always been a Supercross rider rather than an outdoor guy. I don't know why, just for some reason I've just kind of meshed with Supercross better, and definitely got some battled with Matt Gerke and Cole Thompson, and because the first weekend they built kind of a easier track, and we all kind of complained about it. And then the next weekend they built a pretty sweet track with monster whoops. And me and Gerke were the only two hitting the whoops. Actually, everyone else was just jumping them.
Yeah, I've been following the Canadian circuit for a while, and I was really pumped to see that they got away from just doing the outdoors like they were doing for, it seemed like, forever. And yeah, going towards that. And I didn't watch the whole races, but I remember watching one of the races, and it must have been that second one. And I just remember how gnarly the whoops looked, and I saw a few people. I'm not sure who they were, but they got, you know, a little bit sketchy going through them.
Yeah, they it was funny because, like, after, because we asked them, I've known the guys forever who do that, the Thompsons. I used to do their JetWorks arena cross races called the AX Tour, and here in America. They used to do just kind of, it's kind of like the, similar to like the Hoosier Arena Cross, similar to that, but they were a little bit more like peaked up. Their stuff was, it was, so I grew up doing their stuff. So when I jumped over to there, I asked them, like, all right, so how's the Supercross track going to be this year? Like, oh, it's going to be sick. And first round came around and I was like, dude, this is a 50 track. Like, what happened? And they said, they're like, all right, we'll beef it up for the next weekend. And they beefed it up. It was really sick. And they put the whoops, like, when we were walking the whoops, me and Gerke were walking it, and Gerke's a whoop guy. Like, he rips of the whoops, and he was an arena cross guy his whole life. And he, I texted her out, we were talking, and I was like, hey, what do you think? He's like, dude, these things are big. And I'm like, yeah. And I ended up hitting him like the second lap, and he came up to me after the race or after the practice and was like, man, I was really hoping you weren't going to hit those, because I didn't feel like hitting them. But obviously he came around and went as fast as he could through them, because he's a beast through whoops. But I've always loved it up there. And I was up with PRMX up there, so I had a good gig up there for a while because they're a Canadian team. And so it was a pretty good gig up there. It's always fun living in Canada.
Yeah, it seemed like they got it going pretty good before COVID. And obviously that kind of ruined a lot. But still, like, they got it or this year was pretty good from what I saw. I just saw a few races here and there, and seeing the guys like Marshall Walton killing it up there, as well as Cole Thompson, and those guys really hauling. And it's really cool to see arena cross and supercross and just them bringing that up there, because like what you said, how the track was all kind of tamed down. I was watching Paris Supercross and seeing like the GP guys over there. I don't know, it feels so weird watching them, you know, against our guys. They like absolutely smoke us outdoors at MX the Nations, and Crowley go over there, and like, I don't think he did too good. From what I watched earlier, I think he got like seventh in the third main. I need to watch the full race, but yeah, it's just weird, you know, seeing that, the difference of, you know, how the bike setup is and everything.
Yeah, and it's a completely different world. Better. Yeah, the Europeans, definitely, they're strong. They are not, their strong point is definitely not Supercross. Their strong point is definitely outdoors, and they kick our butt on outdoors. And it's funny, though, that it was cool, though, how two French guys won the Paris Supercross. But it's kind of the two French guys that won, one of them's Mouskan, who's lived over here forever, so he's basically a Supercross rider. And Cedric Soubirous is kind of the same thing. He's a French like Supercross champion, I think, or something like that. And he's raced Supercross over here a lot. But the guys who came from and raced it from the GPs, like Febver, Caroli, and a few of those, yeah, they don't ride Supercross too much, which it's understandable. Like, they focus on outdoors for 9 out of the 12 months, and we focus on Supercross 9 out of the 12 months, and it shows. And hopefully Febver's okay from that crash, because that was gnarly.
Yeah, oh my God. Like, I can't believe he did that and went over there, in which I know a lot of GP guys race, you know, off-season Supercross races, but I'm, like, thinking after that, like, why would he risk your season? Because I know the GPs start up early on, and I think it's around February or March, if I'm not mistaken. And that, yeah, that was that absolutely gnarly crash, and ended up breaking his tib and fib there. Yeah, definitely feel
bad. Is that what happened?
Yeah. Yeah, from what I heard. So, yeah, I'm hoping he gets well soon and, you know, gets back from it and at the beginning of the season and doesn't miss any time, which, yeah, I'm not sure exactly when the GP season starts, but, you know, from this whole year, he seems like he was killing it and picking, you know, it up towards the end, and I think he got, like, a couple wins, overall wins in the GP, and they had to see him go over there, and I was hoping that he would do a little bit better, and, yeah, that just was really unfortunate seeing him go down like that. And it was just crazy, but honestly, I was still surprised by Chad Reed going over there and doing as good as he did over there. I think he beat Crowley, and he's been retired for over a year or 2 years now, right?
Yeah, but was it? Yeah, it's either a year or two. Yeah, I mean, it's Chad Reed. He's literally one of the greats. He's probably been riding for – he probably rode a little bit, and then he can just hop on a bike and just be fast. He's unreal.
Yeah, when I heard that he was racing over there, I'm like, I thought he was going to do good, but I'm like, oh, Crowley's in shape. He just got, you know, done doing the GP season, and, yeah, I was definitely surprised, which, you know, thinking about him some more, yeah, like, Chad's been doing this for, what, like, the last 20 years, and they had a, I'm not sure how long those motos were, though, but I think they might have been a little bit shorter, but still, you know, he did really good, and getting back to Muskan, yeah, I wasn't surprised by that, but, yeah, I thought Brayton would be further up there for sure. And I don't know, it just seemed like some of the riders surprised me. I thought Brayton would be battling up there with Muskan, but I think he got like third or fourth, if I'm not mistaken. I don't have the results with me, so, but.
Yeah, I kind of thought Brayton would be a little better too. I was pretty surprised. I was pretty, I think I only watched like the first moto. I didn't know it was like a 2 or 3 moto format, honestly. I was flying home, I think, from Thanksgiving when I was in the middle of watching it, so I kind of couldn't watch it all live. And I was surprised from Bogle the first moto. He was ripping. He was in, I think, third for pretty much the whole moto until Brayton got him in the last corner. Like, brand new bike, like, riding a Suzuki. Like, I mean, I loved the Suzukis when I rode them as an amateur, but obviously now they're kind of outdated right now. Like, their chassis are unbelievable, but their motors probably aren't too up to par, but their Het Motorsports probably got it. But I was pretty surprised with Bogle. He looked pretty dang good.
Yeah, he definitely did really good, and he beat a couple guys that I expected to be up there closer to him. But, I didn't watch the whole thing. I got to see, like, a couple minutes here and there, and it didn't help that they didn't have an English broadcast. At least that I
could. Yeah.
So it was really hard to follow along for me, but I'm just looking at some of the results right now, and they had Dylan Wright up from Canada over there. Yep. And going back to the GPs just for a second, and he was over there for the last 5 rounds and totally forgot about him. Yeah, he was over there, and I believe he was just right on the verge of the top 10s. I think he made like 2 top 10s. Not mistaken there, and he's definitely one that's, I think, catching a lot of people's eyes, and I know a lot of people in Canada, and I'm from Michigan, and a lot of people around here know who he is, but I think he's really, you know, growing a fan base and going overseas and really killing over there.
Yeah, he's definitely, I know him pretty well from up there in Canada. He's kind of like my age group. Like, when I went up there in 2014 as an amateur doing the Walton thing, I raced him and Jess Pettis at, like, the pretty much the Canadian Loretta Lynn's. And, he's doing really well right now. He's won the past 2 championships outdoors. He's just so fast outdoors, like, so smooth and fast. And it's unreal. Pettis this year was pretty much going to be a contender with him. They were pretty much battling the whole season until, like, 2 or 3 rounds to go, he got hurt. But yeah, Wright right now is definitely opening some eyes, showing that he can go pretty fast. Like in the Nations, he like qualified almost right next to Caroli's time or something like that. And so yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and yeah, I was definitely surprised. Like in his rookie season, I thought Thompson would be faster than him, but he was like right up there the whole time and not backing down at all. And then see him come over the Supercross, and yeah, he went over the GPs, but I don't think he came over the States yet. But Pettis came over, I think, was it last year, to do some Supercross races. And he's another guy up there in Canada that came over and did a really good job. And I know he was riding in the, I think, 250 West class. And he was up there as well. And, you know, there's a few names up there that are really, you know, coming out strong.
Yeah, I think he's going to do that again this year. I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong. I have to text him and ask him. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure he's going to do that. Yeah, he was getting, like, some near top tens, if not top tens, that year he came over and did Supercross. And, yeah, because KTM, Red Bull KTM brings him over and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's pretty cool that some names over there are starting to come over here and do some stuff.
Yeah, I totally honestly forgot about that until I just brought that up. And, yeah, I forgot that he was down at the Baker's factory. I know he was down there for, like,
yep.
From what I saw, it was like a good couple of weeks or even a month or two, and getting ready for West Coast or I think it was West Coast, but anyway, yeah, one of the coast. You know? Yeah, and he did really good. But what are your thoughts on like them coming down and doing off season races for on their schedule, and then come over and doing Supercrosses or the U.S. guys going over and overseas to like Geneva or Paris.
I mean off-season races is kind of like the last 2 years we've kind of gotten away from it, and everyone, it kind of sucks because like I think the off-season races are good because it keeps you on the bike, it keeps you racing, and especially like from once the outdoors are over, from let's say like the end of August to pretty much January, you're doing nothing other than training. So kind of doing some random races is good. And like the first year, the COVID hit and all that, my plan was to go to like Germany and stuff like that to do some of those races. And I was pretty pissed once COVID hit because I couldn't do anything because couldn't go anywhere. So that kind of, because I was like finally out of school and everything, I could finally focus on racing, and then all that hit. So that kind of ruined all that. But I think the off season stuff's really good to go overseas, and them coming over here, and pretty much America right now is pretty much all, it's not even, it's like it's a pretty much world championship now because half the riders are different countries. So it's pretty cool to see just different people coming over and racing against the best.
Yeah, for sure. And I know there's a big argument on social media about riders possibly getting hurt overseas or whatever, but like to your point, Justin Brayton's been going over for the last few years over to like Australia and yeah, other off-season races, and like when A1 comes around, it seems like he doesn't have like any rust or whatever you want to call it at A1. It seems like he's in like mid-season form, and which one of the other arguments I was hearing was, well, if you're not racing overseas or not doing off-season races wherever, you're going to be at the practice track, and you're still going to risk of having an injury on the practice track. So why not go over and try to make some money and get in that race pace and so when it comes to your schedule, you'll be ready for your first race, whatever it's, if it's A1 or the 250 East or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like this year, I'll probably start doing some of those little Hoosier Arena crosses. I'll do 450 rounds, one or two 450 rounds right before the 250 East gets ready, just to kind of get going. Like, I'm not a big fan of just jumping into the first round rusty and just like going like, all right, let's go race. I haven't raced since last year. So that's definitely, I like doing that.
And especially with Supercross. I think a lot of people that don't ride or that really don't ride at like a competitive level don't realize how sketchy Supercross is. And even if you like don't see it in person, it just seems like a lot of people think it's so easy, but yeah, man, it's super gnarly. And Hoosier, and what's the other Arena Cross USA that just got going?
Or was that the
Hickory, yeah. I'm definitely pumped to see them guys going. And it seems like, you know, after, what was it, the Feld Arena Cross, Antioch Arena Cross that got canceled, what was it, like 2 years ago or something? Kind of cool.
Yeah.
More serious pop up.
Yeah, I wish they would kind of – it just sucks. I wish those series would kind of make it more arena cross. Like, the tracks are pretty tame in those ones. Like, Hoosier's pretty dang tame. And Kicker one's a little bit more technical, but not much. Like, their whoops are always tiny. Like, a 50 could skim their whoops pretty much. And, like, I understand, like, because it's a little different because, like, the Feld one was just straight pros. Like, there was – all pros. It was no amateur racing. Like, you had like the, I think like the 85 class or something like that, like during the night, but that's about it. So they made the track for the pros, and those series, they have all classes from 50s to pro. So they kind of got to make it a little easier, but it just kind of sucks when you see arena cross tracks where pretty much an 85 can hit every jump, a 50 can skim the whoops, and it just, like, you go to those races and pretty much anyone can be fast and not big berms or anything like that. I miss the old arena cross days where the whoops were as big as your heads, like up to your head almost, and jumps right out of a corner and finish line was you case it, you die. Like, I kind of miss that arena cross.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I didn't watch it too much, but when I did, it was definitely like action packed and really good racing, and seeing the guys like haul through the whoops or get really sketchy going through them. And it really sucks that whatever happened with that, like, I'm not sure if they, like, why they canceled it. It seemed like it was doing good, if I'm not mistaken. Like, Jacob Hayes was over there. Gerke was over there for a while. Like, there was a lot of good guys over there, Peters as well. And it's cool to see them bring back the series. But yeah, I think it sucks with it being tamed down, along with how there's two different, you know, championships. And I'm not sure if they're going at the same time, but it seems like there's riders where, you know, if you could merge them together and make one championship, the racing would be better and tighter for sure.
Yeah, like, yeah, that, I think they pretty much canceled it because the people coming to watch, there wasn't many people coming to watch anymore. Yeah, because, like, I had two of my close friends, Jace Owen and Gavin Faith, they did it. Like, when I was training at the goat farm, they were racing it, and like, they were, like, those are two badass guys. Like, they're fast as hell, and they can go to Supercross and do just as well. And they just, I think with Arena Cross, just the spectator-wise wasn't as much, so they just ended up just folding it. And because, like, when they started doing the Futures racing through it, like, the attendance on racer-wise went up like crazy because you had to do that to get your Supercross license, but the – I think it's just spectator part of it just didn't happen. So, yeah, so now Hoosier and Kicker, and I've done some Hoosier arena crosses. Like, they're good. Like, the promoter's a good guy, a cool guy, and they put it on well and everything. Like, because they have to put it on for different size bikes and all that, so I understand. But just wish there was maybe, like, a pro lane or something like that where it was actually gnarly.
Yeah, and I first saw Hoosier, I think, was when they announced it was on FS1 or Fox Sports, whatever, and yeah, I was surprised that they're running all the classes in one day. I thought they're gonna have like amateur day, then, you know, have the pros on Saturday and amateurs on Sunday or whatever. And yeah, it kind of sucks that they're all together in one big format, from what I saw. But it's kind of cool that it seems like they're growing it a little bit. And because the AMSO Arena Cross was on TV back in the day a couple years ago, and it seems like Hoosier's doing good enough to get back in the air with Ralph and Jeff back in the booth. So it should be pretty cool. But, and I see some names that were familiar from the AMSOIL that are racing it. So yeah, hopefully the racing is good. And I think it'll be really cool with having that and yeah, just having some more races before A1.
Yeah.
So, what else we got? So talking about school, you brought that up a few minutes ago. So how was that going to college and racing Supercross? And weren't you racing Supercross full-time when you were going to school?
Yeah, so, yeah, I went pro in 2015, and I did Arena Cross that year. I did a couple Supercross races that year, then got a ride back in Arena Cross. And then from then on out till 2018, I raced Supercross, and I was a full-time college student. Like, it was pretty much just wake up in the morning, go to 8 a.m. classes, and then as soon as the class was done, I'd go to the track. At the first year, I was training at GPF, but then most of the time I was at the goat farm, and during the day, I'd just go ride. As soon as I was done riding, go back home, shower, then go back to class from like 4 to like 6 or like 3 to 6. You can pretty much just, with college, you kind of just look at the schedule, like you see what classes you want, and then it gives you a list of times that you can do in class. Like they have this class this time at this time. So I kind of worked it around my schedule. And then after I did class, then I went home, did my cycles, did all the workouts I needed to do at the gym with Drew Whitehead, with DW Performance. And it was definitely a long 4 years of going to school and racing at the same time. I didn't do anything in the summer. I definitely took the summer off from racing. I kind of just did Supercross just because I wanted to focus on my school in the summer and kind of just start doing it more. And Supercross was a little easier because outdoors was just a lot on your body, a lot on your travel schedule, and the pay sucked, so it wasn't worth it. So, yeah, it definitely was a big ordeal doing both, but it definitely was worth it in getting my degree and kind of helped with my name, kind of gave me a niche kind of for them to watch me and do a story about me. So it kind of helped in that sense. So it's kind of a win-win.
Oh, for sure. And I remember hearing your name, and that was back when I was in high school, and I thought I was crazy back then, and ended up going to college. And I didn't race or I didn't have anything like that going on, and just doing college full-time was enough for me. I remember I was thinking back to that when I saw one of the Supercrosses. I'm like, oh my God, how does he do it?
Yeah, it definitely was a lot. The first year definitely was a pain, but I kind of just got into a thing. I love just being busy, and I knew that racing definitely wasn't going to be my full-time future. Like, I'm not going to be probably making $1 million. I wasn't top. I wasn't a Cooper Webb at the time. So, like, I definitely was like, I got to make my future where I'm going to make some money in a different career. So, I was a main event guy, so I was making decent, okay money on the weekends, but it wasn't going to last me forever.
Oh, for sure. And I think that's one thing in the sport of motocross that people really don't think that much about. Like, if you go to play professional football in the NFL or baseball or you know, pretty much any other sport, you're going to go to college before you move up to the pro ranks. And it's kind of a weird thing with motocross because you see a lot of kids getting homeschooled from when they're like on 65. Like, these parents are just, you know, like full on moto dad, like, or 50 dads with them. And I don't think, like, there's some people in the sport that focus on it, but that's one thing I think that not that many guys focus on, which I think is, you know, really key. Because even if you do have like a 10-year career or whatever, like, you're gonna, you know, possibly retire when you're in your 30s, you know, maybe 30 to 35 ish or whatever, you know, and that's super long nowadays. And definitely, I think that's one thing that people need to focus on a little bit more. But it's definitely hard with guys turning pro so young, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty much what we saw. I mean, even with like, and also with like football and stuff like that, like even the guys who are sitting on the bench in football and basketball, they're making like $500,000 or something like that. Like, even just getting into the pros there, you're making bank. In Supercross, only like the top 10 in the 450 are making real money. Pretty much anyone after that are just kind of making an okay living. Anyone in the 250 class past like 10th place isn't making anything. Like, if you make the main, you'll make like $2,000-$3,000 a weekend or something like that. But there's only 17 rounds in the week or in the year. Then you got outdoors and also, yeah, like, even the 250 factory guys right now, like, yeah, they're making $100,000-$200,000 probably right now, but that ain't gonna last you forever. Like, you got to get that 450 main ride to really be able to retire. And even 450 guys who have won championships in 250s and are now in 450s, you haven't like really prestigious in the class. They've got to find something to do, and they kind of just waste their education. Which we don't have to have a, you don't have to go to college to find a good trade. Like, there's definitely a lot of different trades out there that you can make good money at. But if you don't want to, there's two different types of people. Like, my dad always told me, he's like, do you want to work your ass off and every day in a construction site or something like that, which you can make good money, or do you want to sit at a desk and sip a coffee and make just as much, or if not more, and just relax and have a life? And so it just kind of depends on what you kind of want and whichever life you want. And I decided I want to have a pretty much an IT career and have a good future in that way, and be in like the corporate world pretty much. And that's what I have right now. I just got a job here in Dallas, Texas.
Oh, for sure. And that sounds awesome. And yeah, like I wish more people would, you know, follow that path. And obviously it's really hard, and not like it would be an easy thing to do for, you know, anyone, but with a lot of these guys turning pro, you know, coming out of the A class around like 17, 18, 19, you know, even 20 years old, but still, like, just to even get like a good quality high school education. And I think a lot of people don't really care about that. Just, you know, get their diploma. And I know it's a lot of people dropping out of school, and, you know, it's kind of cool to see them eventually going back, and they're doing that on track schooling by that on track, that online, that where they graduate at Loretto's. I'm having a brain fart right now.
I think it is just on track or something like that. Yeah, like GPF does a good thing. Like Josh Woods at GPF does a good thing with them, I think, every year, like with the cash for class or something like that every year, that race. And but yeah, I'm glad that there's someone in there pushing education and everything. And maybe once I get older and into my future of or into my future job and career, kind of can put back into the sport as well, kind of pushing something like that with that.
Yeah, for sure. And it must be nice having, you know, a plan right after moto, because there's a lot of guys that really, you know, this is all they have. Where, you know, if something were to happen, you know, who knows what they would do. Or and yeah, that's what I had someone talk to me about that. And, you know, what, you know, these football players go to college for, you know, beautiful years, and you know, get their degree, you know, maybe, or if not, they're like really close, like a year away from getting it. And anyways, yeah, they're talking about motocross, and they weren't too familiar with it, but it's like, yeah, it's kind of hard, you know, with these kids going pro really young. Like Jet Lawrence, he was 16 when he went pro, and, you know, he's still a high schooler and probably like a sophomore or something. So it is definitely, you know, really challenging for all you guys.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's a crazy world in this sport, and hopefully it changes soon.
Yeah, for sure. And hit on a couple more things here, and just have right now, we kind of talked about it earlier. I wish I would have brought this up earlier, but we're talking about how the MXGP versus the guys over here in the States, and I know there's a lot of debates on who's faster, and with, you know, Jeffrey Herling's over there killing it, and Geyser as well. And what's your opinion on that? I know Tomac's had an off year, and there's a lot of guys over here, like how you're saying, there's a lot of international guys over here. So not like we just have U.S. guys over here, but what's your opinion on the whole GP versus the U.S. side?
Yeah, honestly, I mean, right now they've kind of proven it the past, 5 years in MX of Nations, like they're faster than us at outdoors. It's just facts. I mean, they focus on it more. That's why, like, we focus on Supercross for outdoors. We only focus on outdoors from the end of May to like August, like 3 to 4 months. And then we're straight back on Supercross from August till May. So we focus on Supercross eight months out of the year, when they are doing the complete opposite. Their focus, their season and outdoors is from February or so to like September. So like they're focusing on outdoors the whole entire time. So it's going to happen to where they're going to be faster. And right now, Jeffrey Herlings is unreal how fast he is. And the Fever this year, like he was champion, I think like 4 years ago or something like that. He's finally kind of getting back into the groove. And Taiga, Geyser, he's ripping. And a couple other new names coming up with like Sewer and stuff like that. But yeah, I know. I know Americans hate to say it and hate to hear it, but right now at outdoors, they are faster. But at Supercross, we have it. Like, they aren't going to beat us at Supercross. So it'd be cool to see like a MX of Nations Supercross and an MX of Nations Motocross, but don't see that happen anytime soon, because there'd be a lot of Europeans getting hurt.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of red flags that night.
little bit, yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, and those guys are hauling. And yeah, like I went over to Redbud for MX Nations in 2018, and I was kind of blown away because that was my first race seeing any of those guys over there. And Kohlendorf did really good. You know, all the guys, Ferrandis did really good as well. And just we just got our butts absolutely kicked. And it was kind of weird, though, because seeing that track, because I went to Redbud pretty much like every year, pretty much since I've been born. And I'm not giving any excuses to them right now, but like that track,
it seemed, wasn't the same.
Yeah, it was not the same at all. Like I went there and I looked at it. I'm like, this looks just like a GP track. Like I'm not trying to throw off any excuses, but yeah, it looked like a heck of a lot different.
Yeah, that was kind of bull. Like if you're going to give us the home field advantage, give us the home field advantage. Like give us Redbud. Like this year in 2022, because we're coming back here, they better leave it Redbud. Like, don't bring all this dang sand and mulch. You know, and it kind of did suck because it was muddy. Like, I feel like if it was dry, we probably could have done a little better. But it was muddy. It like I was there as well, and it just sucked. Like, it was so dang muddy, and Americans aren't really used to the mud, and the Europeans are probably a little bit more mud riders, and yeah, it was just a bad time for us.
Yeah, I think just all the riders, or not the riders, but just all the U.S. guys, just it seemed like they got embarrassed, and yeah, it just honestly really sucked. And but the one thing that really kills me is like that every year. That's another excuse I have, but every year that fits right into their schedule, where the guys over here in the States get done. What's it like 3 weeks before, or even maybe like a month before MX Nations. Then they have to go and, you know, get back in the race mode and do that. And it just seems really awkward with, you know, trying to fit in off season, you know, either, you know, like a break before MX Nations or, you know, sometime after before, you know, normally they would have the Monster Cup.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Cause they mentioned the Europeans, they're in season when they're racing the nations. Like they're literally in their season. They still have like one or two rounds to go after the nation. So they're in their prime, and we like have like 3 or 4 weeks after our season, then it's the nation. So like whoever we pick, they literally have to keep training outdoors when everyone else is kind of resting and having a life and getting prepared to start training for Supercross.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people get a lot of heat for backing out, and which I totally understand, you know, it's been a super long season focusing on Supercross and, you know, having the dog days of summer being in the outdoors, and you know, just it's a super long season, and a lot of people get heat for backing out, and yeah, just and, hopefully for Redbud it's more normal, like you said, and hopefully we have all the top U.S. guys healthy, but you know, willing to go over and give it their best shot to get that title back.
Yeah, hopefully we can get a good year coming up. And yeah, so we'll just kind of just wait and see. The kind of sucks that we kind of have to do it like that, but hopefully we can get a good year out of it. It's 1 year.
Yeah, for sure. And it's weird that it's at Redbud again. I'm not complaining because I'm from Michigan, and you know, everyone loves that track, but it's kind of funny to see it come back to Redbud. Like, if out of all the tracks in the U.S., and I see a lot of people online are really pissed about that too, and it made me laugh because I honestly could be at Redbud, you know, multiple times, and I'm fine with it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's pretty nice.
Yeah. So one thing I don't think I've really talked about on a podcast, we haven't done that many since the FIN announced that they're parting ways with Feld, and then they ended up announcing that they're looking for a promoter to do a series over in Europe. So do you think that will have an effect on the racing over here in the States at all?
I don't know. I know every single year people are always complaining that FIM has weird rules and everything. And honestly, to be completely honest, I have no clue what they have, like what they did for Supercross. I know they had like a lot of different types of rules and stuff, but I honestly won't know the difference probably unless Supercross kind of needs like help in different ways. But I don't really understand what FIM did over here. It was kind of just, I feel like AMA can just take care of it, AMA and Feld. So yeah, I don't really understand the whole FIM thing. I don't really know what they did over here, honestly. I never really paid attention to that. I kind of usually just showed up to the race, signed my papers, and raced.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were really pumped to hear that news when they announced that. And I thought that was nothing but good news. Then I heard that they're announcing that they're we're looking for a promoter. But holy crap, there might actually be some, competition from the U.S. to wherever the heck they end up landing here in the next couple of years. But I really don't see any of the top guys from over here, move overseas and do something similar over and, somewhere in Europe probably.
Yeah, if they do like a Supercross series over there, it'll take a long time before people start moving over there. Cause I mean, we're just the main Supercross series. Like, it's going to be hard because they got to get a series going. They got to get stadiums going like that. They just got to get it all rolling before anyone thinks about going over there. The only people that you might lose to go over there are honestly kind of the riders like me or someone like a Peters or something like that. Or maybe not a Peters because he does pretty well over here. But like the riders that are in like the 10th place or so who aren't making like super bank here and get a factory ride over there because we're more used to Supercross and they might bring a couple Americans over. So yeah, but you're not going to be losing any of the big names over here.
Yeah, true. And it really sucks to see, like, I know there was a lot of off season, a lot of overseas races. Like, I know they just had Paris, but it seemed like a few years ago they had a bunch of different championships over there. I'm not too sure what the Germans are doing, but I know they had one a couple years ago before COVID. And there was a couple other ones that I can't name off the top of my head right now, but it seems like everyone over in Europe is not really doing Supercross that much. And I was just wondering if that's going to affect, anyone from Europe possibly coming over in the next couple years or even in the next decade.
Yeah, I know there's Germany, the Britain has a Supercross series. They have the France race. There's that one-off one. And then, yeah, there's little series like that. The Germany one's pretty big. Gavin Faith, my buddy, used to do that. Won a lot. He won it. But those usually are like 4 or 5 rounds. Like, they're not like a full series where like you're just glued into it for 5, 6 months. It's kind of just like a month or two type thing. And yeah, I think it'll be quite a while until they can start really pushing real Supercross over there.
Yeah, Australia had a good thing going on for a while.
Yeah, Australia's sick.
Yeah, like Brayton, and they had a couple of local guys there that are really hauling that. Not that many people knew about over here in the States, but yeah, they had a really good thing going on for a while, and it was kind of cool seeing all the U.S. guys go over there for a race or two, or even the whole season. Like, I think Hayes went over there 1 year, and obviously Brayton, it seems like every year. And Chad went over there for the Oz X Open, and yeah, that was pretty cool. But it seems like everything in Australia right now is kind of gone to hell, and like, who knows what's going to go on, with everything there. And it seems like they're really locking down with COVID and way worse than we are over here. So yeah, I haven't heard too much about that. Have you heard anything if they're going to do that? Or I know they paused it last year, and I heard the promoter talk about it a little bit, but I haven't seen anything posted about that series coming back.
Yeah, I don't know. I've always wanted to go over there and do that series. Like, it looks so fun, like just everything over there, and Australia just seems like a cool place to go and see. And yeah, the series looks pretty sick, and the riders over there are really good. Like, a couple of them came over here and did a few rounds last year on the West Coast in 2020. And they did okay. They did pretty good. Like, they're pretty dang good over there. They're a little ahead of Europe because they've been doing it for a while. They've got, like, a full series over there. So I hope they get it back going because it'd be cool to have, like, that back and have an option to go over there.
Yeah, for sure. And just, yeah, more races. And that seemed like the fit perfectly, too. We both talked about it earlier with Bray and how right before A1, and he would roll into A1 all ready to go. But yeah, it seemed like they keep all the guys all primed and ready to go, and it seemed like a lot of those races would fit really good in the people's schedules that didn't do motocross in the summer or whatever, and just focus on Supercross only. And
yeah, pretty much.
But anyways, I think that's, I touched on everything that we wanted to touch on, a shorter episode here today. But anyways, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, just I'd like to mostly thank, like, you know, I'm excited about the year for this year for 250 East, like with Bubba's team, the international race team with Mad Parts, Circuit Equipment, and Nomura, and FXR, and all them. He's got a good team going. He's definitely a good rider. He's a rider that owns a team, so he knows what people need, and it's a growing team, and I think people definitely need to watch out for him and see it all coming around. And Jonesboro Cycle, they're a big part of the team as well, so I'd like to thank them for this opportunity coming up, and hopefully it'll be a good year.
And I'm also really excited to have a brand new grip company on board with us. I want to give a big shout out to Whiskey Throttle Grips. They make grips and apparel, half waffle, and soft compound grips. Go over and check out their Instagram at whiskey_throttle_grips. Go on there, see what they have going on and all their cool grips. And right in their bio is their link to their website. So go check them out on Instagram, hit that follow button, and click that link in the bio. And I also want to give a big shout out to our newest sponsor here on the show, which is Blood Lubricants. As you guys know, it's really important to have really good oil in your bike. Be like Joey Crown, Alex Ray, Kyle Chisholm, Logan Carnow, and the whole SGB Honda team, and many more by using Blood Lubricants. Go over to their website and use code MOTO247 for 25% off on most products they have on there. Again, that's MOTO247 and all caps, MOTO247 for 25% off on most products on their website. Go over there. Their link to their website is in their Instagram bio. So go over there and find them on Instagram as well at Blood Lubricants. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Moto 247 show. If you want to find us on Instagram, you can find us at moto.247, which is our main page. Then our podcast page is on there at the Moto 247 show. I definitely appreciate it if you go over there and give us a follow on there. And I'd also appreciate it if you go over to our YouTube, which is under Moto247, and hit that subscribe button. Our goal is 1,000 subscribers, and we're a little bit away from 1,000 right now, but once we hit 1,000 subscribers, one lucky subscriber will win a free custom set of Prism Designs graphics. So go over there, hit that button, hit that follow button on Insta, hit that subscribe button on YouTube, and till the next episode. Peace out, guys.